Let's bring you up to your time of public service. Tell us what led up to that.
After the war, the young fellows in Tulsa, a lot of them got active in the JCs. At one time, we had about 600 members of the Tulsa JCs. In a way, I think we were more active on the civic improvements. There was a big push to improve the parks, improve city planning. There were quite a few young architects, Dave Murray, one I remember. We got active in a civic improvements committee that was trying to get the city fathers to do some good things like expressways, parks. Lundy, Roy Lundy, was the mayor at this time. Mr. Lundy was probably in his 70s or so. He had a young city attorney, Bob Davidson. He says, "Bob, you know some of these young fellows. Let's get some young fellows on these city boards." Some of the city boards, like the planning commissioner or the park board, had the original appointees that were appointed back in the 20s still serving. So Bob, I guess, came to the JCs and said, "Who are some of these fellows that are active?" I got appointed to the city planning commission under the age of 30. The city planning commission, we had a problem in that there was no authority outside the city, and the city limits were very small at that time. And all the mistakes were being made outside the city. So they created a county planning commission, which was separate from the city. And they decided on the county planning commission they should have some members from the city planning commission. And Roy Deaton and I were selected to also serve on the county planning commission. A little later on, when Clancy Warren was mayor, Clancy was a young mayor. Most of the city officials back in those days were retired people. It was considered a part-time job. It wasn't as strenuous or as demanding as today. Clancy Warren was mayor, and the street commissioner was serving his third term. Dean Foster was his name. He was a brilliant engineer and had done a lot of pre-planning or given the city some good advice. He ran for office, and he was in a hospital. He got 85% of the vote and didn't campaign. In those days, you had a commissioner of water and sewer, a commissioner of finance, commissioner of streets and public properties, commissioner of fire and police, four commissioners, and the mayor. So there was a vacancy. The mayor had the power to nominate, but he had to confirm with a majority of the commission. The commission was divided. He'd nominate somebody, one fellow would second it, and the other two would vote against it. This went on for several months. And finally somebody said, "Mayor, you got to solve this problem." I don't think they could even pay the bills. They couldn't agree. He said, "You got to solve it." "Well, how will I do this?" He had recommended or tried to appoint people who had some political background. Somebody said, "Well, you got to find somebody neutral, somebody that's not identified with either party, and maybe that'll sell." "Who's this young fellow over on the planning commission? Maybe we could get him to serve in the street commissioner's position." So I was asked. My dad had historically been against ever serving in public office because we were selling steel to schools or to cities or something. He said we could give them the steel and then still feel like there was some skullduggery going on. So he didn't want to be involved. He had been asked to serve on the school board several times, and he turned them down. So I turned down Clancy Warren. Unknownst to me, the Chamber of Commerce people went to my dad and said, "We'd like to see Sid serve." He says, "Well, I don't want to have any problem with the newspapers." And he says, "Well, we'll ask Norris Henthorne, we'll ask Mr. Jones." Particularly Jake Jones, I'd gotten acquainted with them in some Chamber of Commerce work. He said, "I'd like to see that young man on the board." So they said, "We'll lay off. We won't give him any trouble." So I was interviewed by Clancy for about an hour, and I wanted to do this because he was trying to bring the city up to date with modern computer equipment and everything. He had a city treasurer who had worked for Douglas Aircraft bringing the IBM equipment to Douglas, and he wanted to put all this together. At this time, the city was still doing some things by pen and ink. I think taxes were entered into a ledger by pen and ink. The water bills were addressed with an addressograph plate. So I just wanted the experience of seeing the city change over to modern business methods.
This would have been in about what year?
This was 1952, okay. 51 or 2. So Dad said, okay, after a week or so, yeah, that'll be all right. Clancy wanted me to come down and he wanted to explain what his program was. And I spent an hour with Clancy. I had my hand on the doorknob and on my way out. And I said, oh, by the way, I'm a registered Democrat. And he was a Republican. He says, I'm the titular head of the Republican Party. And that just wouldn't do. He said, why don't you go down and change your registration, and I'll wait a few days before I bring your name up. And so I did. In those days, I think a lot of people had registered Democrat who at that time felt like they could improve the Democratic Party by being active in the party, because we were a one-party state at the time. There were a lot of people, you might say, Republican tendencies that were actually registered Democrat. So I went down and changed, and would you believe a reporter for the Tulsa World didn't even know a thing about this, just guessed that this was going to happen. One of the commissioners that was at odds with the mayor was the water commissioner, Glenover McConnell. And it happened that Glenover and my Uncle Parker played bridge together. So Glenover heard that Patterson was going to be nominated. He calls Parker Patterson and says, what sort of a guy is this nephew of yours? And he says, well, I'll vote for him. So that's how it got confirmed. And the idea was I'd just spend the 2 years, get this experience, and then back to steel business. And since it was a part-time job, Clancy said, all I need you to do is be here on Tuesdays and Fridays when the commission meets. Said, you got a pretty good superintendent in the street department, a good secretary. They can take care of things. So the 2 years were up. Both newspapers, I think, didn't like this controversy, this stalemate that had been going on. And they kind of informed the mayor and all the commissioners that we don't want to see you again. And the Republicans drafted L.C. Clark to be their candidate for mayor. And he says, well, I don't want to have a controversial commission. Who can I get? He knew the Pattersons, he knew me, and he said, I like that young Patterson boy. I'd like to see him run. Well, that meant I had to run for office. And he picked John Henderson, who had retired from the FBI, to be the police commissioner candidate, and John Thomas, who had just gotten out of the Army, and his assignment in the Army, he was in the Army of Occupation, and he was equivalent to the city manager of Frankfurt, Germany. So they figured he would make a good man or knowledgeable person, and he was. So there were three of us. I was about 30, 31 at the time. John Thomas was in his mid-30s, and John Henderson had retired from the FBI. So the finance commissioner, his selection was C.B. Clothier, who had been the equivalent of the treasurer of the Gulf Oil operation in Tulsa at that time. So it was a pretty good team. They call it the L.C. Clark team. So I ran for election. It was a very compatible group. Mr. Clark had been in the hardware business and the appliance business, had the hardware store in Tulsa down on First Street. He was very businesslike. He says, I want you fellows here before 8 o'clock every morning, and we'll go over things. I remember going out to 31st in Utica. People out there were complaining about the traffic lights, or they couldn't get out of that Bren Rose addition. So we go out there and monitor this thing, all five of us, some afternoon. And another time I remember going down to 31st and Riverside Drive, just watching the traffic and figuring out what the traffic engineer was trying to do down there. And when I bring up traffic engineering, I should mention that the fellow that preceded me, Dean Foster, is a fellow Tulsa can be responsible for having a traffic engineering department. Prior to this time, the traffic was a police operation. The policeman thought you could put a policeman in the corner with a whistle and direct traffic. Traffic engineering, the science of that, was a new science. And at that time, Yale University had the expert in this field. So due to Dean Foster, we got a traffic engineer who had graduated from Yale to start traffic engineering in Tulsa. And I can tell you, it's a real science. they're doing a whale of a job wiring up all this equipment. And one of the things that they innovated here was putting the receptor in the pavement that controlled the change of lights. That was new. The traffic engineer, everybody thought it widened a lot of streets. And he said, if we just widen the intersections, it sets where the traffic backs up. We could save a lot of money instead of widening all the streets at one time. Just fix the intersections. This proved to be true. It's true today.
Well, you were one of the youngest then to serve office.
I believe that's...
At 31?
31, yeah.